Hello everyone, today is October 29th, 2009, and this is AppForcast. It's been a busy past couple of weeks. Haven't had a whole lot of time to contribute to the blog as much as I have, but Teresa, our managing editor, has been doing a wonderful job, so I really want to thank her for keeping the content fresh and all her efforts. So I was in Malawi for a while. This AppForcast was actually supposed to feature interviews with some people I did in Malawi. Unfortunately, I recorded the interviews on my iPhone. I upgraded iPhones between now and then and forgot to back up the interviews that I had recorded. So, unfortunately, I lost those. If anyone in Malawi is listening to the show, get in touch with me and we can redo interviews over the phone or something. Really, really upset about that just because I thought those were interesting. So, oh well, it happens. So this show follows the Africa GIS conference was held in Kampala this week. If you don't know, GIS stands for Geospatial Information Systems, and the field is all about the new technologies, the new software, and the new methods of mapping and using mapping data in interesting ways. So there was a whole week-long conference dedicated to this. I was really impressed by the turnout on the first day on Monday. I haven't been back since then, so I don't know what things were like. But on the first day, there was around 200 people there, if not more. And I was really just incredibly impressed at the amount of people who had come from around the continent to participate in an actual tech conference. It did target NGOs primarily, but there was also a lot of private sector companies there, as well as students and people who are just interested in the field. And I have to say, if you've been following my tweets or my Facebook stream, you know this already, but I was blown away by the number of people from Google's Mountain View office and other offices around the world who descended upon Kampala for this conference. Nearly 30 people from Google's various teams, SketchUp, Google Earth, Earth Outreach, other teams. It's pretty incredible. It really felt like, Kampala is a happening place, but it really felt like, people were starting, at least Google was starting to pay more attention to what's going on in sub-Saharan Africa. So this conference is going to, or at least parts of it are going to move to Kenya next week and be a very similar thing. So to get that kind of turnout, knowing that it's also going on again next week in Nairobi, is makes it even that much more impressive, because most people just would have headed for Nairobi. So while I was there, I got to meet some great people. I met some of the people from Development Seed, Jubal Harpster from AG Commons, who is actually hosting a WARE camp on Friday that will sort of sum up the GIS conference, as well as introduce other things related to mapping and location-based data that weren't covered at this conference. More bar camp style, less formal. So it'll be really interesting to go to that. I'm going to take the whole staff. It'll be fun. So, and then on the other side of things, while I was there, I got a chance to sit down with a woman from Google named Rebecca Moore, who is I would describe as the main proponent behind Google's Earth Outreach program. And Earth Outreach is Google's effort to engage nonprofits, NGOs, and they say private sector companies in the developing world, but I can see how it's going to be hard for them to police that if they're just targeting private sector in developing countries, because it's easy enough to just set up a shell company wherever in the world, and if you want access to all this Google Earth mapping stuff at a discount or free or whatever the offer is. So anyway, I got a chance to talk with her to find out more about what this is and why Google is doing it. So there's been some backlash against Google's mapping efforts in the same way that people are backlashing against Google's Books efforts, just because I think some people feel like too much control of too much data ends up in one company's hands, and that's a real concern. But Rebecca touches on that, and you know, it's hard to draw a line in the sand, because on the one hand, if Google's not doing it, maybe other people don't find the motivation to do it instead. But definitely, when Google does something, other people, you know, all over the world start jumping up and saying, "Hey, we were already doing that. Hey, we need, you know, why doesn't Google support our efforts instead of trying to do everything on their own?" So there's actually a benefit to having big companies, you know, step in these waters, because it raises attention for some of the other projects going on. At least that's the way I feel about it. And I also don't really have a problem with Google doing all this stuff anyway, because it's not like someone else just can't go out and do it again. So I had a chance to sit down with Rebecca and talk about a lot of this stuff. Also, this announcement was made after our interview, but just this morning I read that, or I guess late yesterday morning in the U.S., there was an announcement that the Android phones, the newest Android operating system 2.0, features turn-by-turn navigation. And going back to the argument of why some companies are starting to criticize Google for how much control they have, this phone, that feature cannibalizes the whole market of, like, you know, these TomTom systems and these Garmins that people were buying to put in their cars because they needed navigation systems, but not just navigation systems, turn-by-turn navigation systems. And Google has come along and said, "Hey, we've got all this data. We don't need to use Telstar, whatever the main satellite that allows that kind of stuff is. We can use our own data, and we're going to give it to people for free." So I can see why those people woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning, because this is a problem for them. This is, especially TomTom. This is a big problem for them. At the same time, love it or hate it, it's actually useful. You know, we'll see how that goes. So the other thing is the new Android, I believe it's called the Motorola Droid, that has this new technology, is cheap enough that it is as cheap as a TomTom, if not cheaper, and you know, with the free turn-by-turn navigation, instead of having to subscribe to it, it's incredible. So that's an example of how Google is using data to just completely be subversive to certain industries in ways that, you know, makes them a few enemies. At the same time, it makes them a lot of friends, because now they're offering the public a service free that before we had to pay for. So, you know, win-lose, however you look at it. So I'm going to get right into the interview. I'm really grateful for Rebecca for offering her time to sit down and talk with me. The audio may not be that great. She sat down with myself and a reporter from the local newspaper, The Monitor, and we just sort of talked in one of the just prior to one of the workshops taking place. So it's not going to be the best quality. You're going to hear a lot of stuff going on in the background, but hopefully you'll hear enough that you can her ideas and explanations for what's going on at Google Earth and Google Earth Outreach and all the subsequent departments like SketchUp and Google Maps and all of the things that were going on at this GIS conference. So hopefully all that comes across. So thank you, Rebecca Moore. Thank you, Google. Thank you, Africa Practice, for making this interview possible. And here we go.
The Google Earth Outreach Project, our focus is supporting nonprofits, public benefit organizations, civil society, in using our mapping tools for public benefit. Now, traditionally that's been NGOs, registered charities. But coming to Africa, it makes a lot of sense to support small business. You know, sort of just the same model of microfinance, where trying to help people come out of poverty, if these tools can be helpful in that, because they're so easy to use, right? Then we want to do that. Basically, any non-commercial or public benefit use of our mapping tools. So what we launched is a program called Google Earth Outreach, and what that does is several things. We've brought 27 Googlers from Mountain View, Boulder, Colorado, our London office, basically many parts of Google have come to Africa for this launch in order to do technical capacity building. And not just for our mapping tools, but for a broad range of tools, because we found that when you are working with geospatial applications, mapping applications, people want to bring in video. They want to integrate YouTube, Picasa. They want to know how to do handheld, you know, measurements with GPS and bring that in. Or now they have this data and they want to visualize it in charts and other ways of looking at the information. So, or they want to post it on their website, or they want to embed their Google Earth visualization in a blog. You know, and so we end up bringing a lot of specialists down from Google to do trainings on all of these things. So today we launched on our Google Earth Outreach site, which is at earth.google.com/outreach, this link, which takes you through a microsite website that we created. Also on our homepage, we're showcasing one of the UNEP Google Earth tours. So when you, this is our microsite that you get to from that, and we've pulled together a whole lot of information and projects, and we're launching three partner projects in Google Earth today that are all related to sustainable development in Africa. So the grants program we launched, which I'll tell you about, this is a description of all the tools that we believe that Google offers that will be help support sustainable development in Africa, and our partner projects, and then some training resources. So here are the three Google Earth projects that we launched today with these partners. The UNEP Atlas of our Changing Environment for Uganda, and I can give you a visualization of that. MAPA has mapped protected areas throughout much of Africa. So it's this incredibly rich sort of geo-encyclopedia now of these parks in Africa. And then Save the Elephants, we've been actually working with them for a number of years because they put giant radio collars on the elephants, and they track them, one, to protect from poaching. The elephants, you probably know this, there are electric fences around, you know, farms and villages to keep the elephants away from destroying the crops of the local people. And they're using Google Earth to dynamically track the locations of the elephants. And when they get too close to these villages, they get an alert and they send out the ranger to go drag the elephant away, so they don't end up harming the villages.
There's also pretty severe drought in Kenya right now,
And well, this particular one was in Mali. But yeah, you would see you'd be able to track in Google Earth where they're going and
to find water,
going farther and that sort of thing. So on our outreach site, there's something called the showcase, and each one of these takes you to a download of that tour, and I'm going to show you some of those. The UNEP is built in, this Uganda Atlas of our Changing Environment is now built into Google Earth, so we have more than 500 million users of Google Earth around the world. In Google Earth is in 41 languages, and as of today, they're all going to see this built into Google Earth. When they open it up this morning, they see the Uganda Atlas, which I'll show you. This is just a couple screenshots from What's really cool in Google Earth version 5, which we launched in February, you can now create a cinematic, audio-narrated guided tour in Google Earth. So if you're an environmental group or a humanitarian group or, you know, businesses could use it to say, let me take you to where you can, you know, look at where we get the crops that we sell you in our market or whatever. You can create this guided tour, and you do that. There's a record button in Google Earth. So you hit record, and then you fly around, and you do just what you want, and you pop balloons and so on, and then you stop recording, and then you send it to someone, or you put it on your website, and when they open it up, they hit play, they get taken on that guided tour. And you can add the audio narration.
Next, she started talking about why Google is offering these tools free. So some of the Google Earth features, some of the more advanced features are paid and they're quite expensive. But the outreach program was an effort to engage nonprofits and charities, and as she said, public services, to offer these tools at a reduced cost or free. And she talks a little bit why that model has changed for African countries.
In every other country where we've launched, we've said you have to be a legally registered charity. But we've discovered in Africa that that's a very onerous burden.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many people and organizations doing very important, vital work, but they haven't, you know, they don't have the resources to register as a charity.
Right.
We want to support them too. So that's why we've made it as flexible as we possibly can to give them the professional software for free. The professional software does give you some additional features, but many people can work with the free version. Okay, let's see. These are tutorials that are very useful that we're training on. There's a panel tomorrow where these three partners are specifically going to show their projects and why did they choose Google Earth? Why did they do this? You know, what is the problem they're trying to solve? What did it take to build this project? What impact do they hope to achieve from doing this, right? So I think that's going to be very cool. And then this is just flipping through all the workshops that we're doing. MapMaker, I think, is a very, very interesting project. MapMaker is a tool that we basically invented for Africa. Now, it didn't launch today. It's launched in the previously, but we've been... What MapMaker allows anybody to do is use Google Earth as a way to digitize, add roads, add places, parks, businesses, anything to our base map for Africa of roads and businesses and places and so on. So the community can contribute map data. And the reason that's important is map data in Africa is poor right now. I mean, some of it is from British colonial era or, you know, it's just obsolete. It's just not true. And so who cares more about having accurate map data than the local people, and who knows more? I won't go through every tool, but here's an example. Google SketchUp lets you make your own building models, and actually businesses are doing this. It's really cool. They want you to be able to like fly and see, you know, what is your storefront, whatever. Although Street View lets you do that too. And so here is someone created this. I mean, I don't know. You may know this place. What do you think?
It's awesome.
Does that look
great?
Yeah.
Is that the Baha'i Temple?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anybody can make these. The tools are really easy. They upload them to what's called the 3D warehouse, and then we periodically pull that in and publish it in Google Earth so everyone can enjoy. You could make your own house and put it in Google Earth.
Use the tool? Is there a tool for creating it?
There is a tool called SketchUp.
Okay.
Yeah, and you don't actually need internet access for that. It runs on your desktop, and it's free. I didn't say that today. dumb. All these tools are free. So I should have said that. This is another one that I think is going to actually be really big, which is, I don't know if you've heard of Android, the cell phone operating system. There are multiple Android cell phones coming out all over the world now. And, you know, in the developing world, people don't have computers, they have cell phones, right?
Right.
Well, Android is this open platform that allow people to develop applications like iPhone apps you've heard of. Well, there's, I think, now more than 10,000 Android applications. But Android is a more powerful hardware platform. Anyway, Open Data Kit lets you create surveys and run them in the field. So it's being used for health surveys, going door to door, interviewing HIV status, TB, whatever, easily getting that information. And instead of today where they use paper and clipboards and then they have to go back to an office and they have to transcribe it into the computer and data mistakes get made, instead you fill it all out on the cell phone, submit, boom, it goes over the cellular network, and it goes into a database and can immediately be mapped, analyzed, and so on.
So next I asked Rebecca how this whole GIS initiative or effort fits into the Google company culture or vision, if you will, the company vision of organizing the world's information.
Yeah, no, that's good. So Google's mission is to organize the world's information,
right?
Make it universally, easily accessible and useful. Well, it turns out that by some measures, more than 50% of the information on the web relates to a place on Earth.
Right.
And if you want to understand that information, sometimes the best way to do that is to experience that in its geographic context.
Right.
In its vivid, rich, three-dimensional geographic context. So the mission of the GEO team, Google Earth and Maps, is to organize the world's geographic information,
right,
and make it universally accessible and useful to people. And we're increasingly finding that those tools don't stand on their own.
Right.
As you saw with the Surui video,
yeah,
it's, you bring in video, you bring in photographs. The Surui are going to use the handheld Android cell phones along with Google Earth and Maps to report suspicious activity on their land. They're going to use it for vigilance, okay? Because right now, the law is not being enforced.
Right.
And they try to report illegal logging. I saw it when I was there.
Right.
Trucks were coming out laden with logs. I'm like, don't you try that? And they're like, nobody comes. We let them know,
right,
nothing happens. So the idea is they'll use these Android cell phones, they'll go take a picture of the logging truck, including its license plate, get the video, because these cell phones can do video or photographs. It's automatically GPS located, it's time stamped and date stamped. They hit submit, it goes up onto the internet, it's mapped immediately, and then if law enforcement says, we didn't know about it, they can say, well, 500 million other people knew about it.
Right.
You know, you can create this kind of global community watch program. So I think the combination, so what we offer is this incredibly, we think it is the most realistic replica of the Earth today, freely available to the public.
Yeah.
With, the satellite imagery, much of it is high resolution, over 30% of the resolution is high resolution. The map data, the 3D terrain, Google search, street view, all of that. It's the most realistic model of the Earth.
So you've been listening to Rebecca Moore from Google's Earth Outreach team. And she was discussing the ways that all these different technologies intersect, the Android OS, Google Maps, SketchUp, all these things, and how they're using geospatial data harmoniously. She goes into so there's a lot of a lot that ended up on the cutting room floor. She talked a bit about how the role Google Earth played in Katrina and how Google. So in the last segment, she talks a bit about the Surui tribe in the Amazon and. The segment where she goes into depth on that I had to leave out just because it's so long, but it is really interesting. So I highly recommend you check out some of the links attached to the show. They go into all these things more in depth than we can here. So that wraps up the show. I'd like to thank Rebecca and Google for the role they played in the Africa GIS conference, as well as Makerere University, one of the local partners, Speak Hotel, who hosted it, and all the other partners that I don't know about. So this week we had a Google of Googlers in Kampala. In the coming weeks, we're going to have, in November, late November, we're going to have Tim Berners-Lee, the man credited with inventing the web and as well as the web browser, is going to be here for his own reasons. But while he's here, the LUG users group, the Linux users group Uganda, has been organizing a conference. They do this once a month anyway. It just so happens it's going to coincide while Tim is here. And I thought it would be cool to have to record some talks for a TEDx event at the same time. So it's going to be a really fun day and really incredible that we're going to have Mr. Berners-Lee on the ground in Kampala participating with the local IT sector, finding out from a local perspective what's needed and where the web should head in the future, and particularly the mobile web. So we're really excited to have him here, and it's just there's sort of like an energy in the air with all this stuff going on around East Africa, and I really think this is going to be 2010 is going to be an exciting year for everyone here. Thanks for listening to the show, and catch us next time.